Why, hello there, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Woodruff Report. I am your host, David Woodruff, and today we have got a whole lot of exciting content coming at you. We've got the second leg of Champions League in what turned out to be a historic, at least, day, a historic week in terms of goals scored in a Champions League round. Incredible round. Special shout out to Man City versus Monaco for turning out to be the highest scoring first leg game ever. We'll talk about that later. We'll also come at you with all the latest from the NBA, with the trade deadline just going down, all the major blockbuster moves, including a roundup of what happened to Boogie Cousins and the Pelicans' acquisition of him. I love this time of the year. Just a little side note, I love this time of the year. Still kind of crisp and cold, but spring is just around the corner and you kind of have the faintest sensation of what is coming upon you. Spring training just started. The other day I got my first alert from MLB.com at bat, my first Giants alert. That made me very excited. Baseball season starting and I can already smell the fresh cut grass and sunny days. But anyway, let's talk some sports. I am your host, David Woodruff. This is the show I lovingly call The Woodruff Report, and we are coming at you with a variety of content in 3, 2, 1. So let's begin across the pond with a little bit of soccer. And the second sort of fixture thingy of games, we had, of course, 4 games that came at you last week, with a host of big-name teams playing, such as PSG, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Arsenal, Real Madrid, Napoli, and Benfica, Dortmund. But I already talked about that, and it's time for a whole new week, because what an exciting week it turned out to be in the Champions League. Incredible games on both Tuesday and Wednesday, but especially Tuesday. And that's where I'm going to start. On Tuesday, Man City hosted surprise outfit Monaco, and Bayer Leverkusen hosted tournament favorite Atletico Madrid, or at least one of the tournament favorites. And I'm going to start in Manchester for what, as I alluded to earlier, was the highest scoring first leg of a Champions League game ever. Absolutely incredible. End-to-end action for the entire game. So, what was the score, you may ask? Well, I'll tell you. 5-3 was the final, with City coming out on top. Thrilling game, and a lot is still up for grabs when they go to Monaco for the second leg of this fixture. Monaco would need 2 goals to tie, but 3 away goals is never a bad thing to have in your back pocket. So Man City still has a lot to work for when they travel to France to play the second leg of this game. But enough about what's going to happen. What happened? In an absolutely incredible game, the scoring started in the 26th minute when Raheem Sterling, the City youngster, former Liverpool man, put City into the lead, leaving the Etihad Stadium in utter chaos as the home fans celebrated their initial goal. But that early goal was quickly going to be canceled out by 2 Monaco goals. The first one being from Radamel Falcao. The former Man City and Chelsea flop latched on with a diving header to the end of a cross. A little bit of an unnecessary dive, but he's a showman, and he made it look good. He made the goal look harder than, at least from what it looked like on television, it didn't look like it needed to be that difficult. But back post, great running, great cross, and he was able to put it in to tie the game at 1-1 and get Monaco a precious away goal. And that was what we were really thinking at this point of the game, because we had no idea of the frenetic pace and the amount of goals that were going to be scored. We were saying, okay, Monaco has that away goal. Now, are we going to see a super defensive game as Monaco kind of tries to absorb City pressure and just get out of there with the 1-1 game, level, scoreline, and the away goal to take back to Monaco. But only a little bit later, Mbappe, Monaco's incredible youngster, made it 2-1, sending the Etihad Stadium into absolute agony. The talented youngster latched onto a free kick to make it 2-1 Monaco. Then, penalty appeals from Monaco, and a penalty was given. Monaco with a chance from the spot to make it 3-1. But Caballero, Willy Caballero, the Man City veteran backup keeper, backup to Claudio Bravo, makes the save, keeping it 2-1. And that would turn out to be huge, because just a little ways in to the second half, there was an absolute howler from Monaco keeper Daniel Subasic as he allowed a low drop from Sergio Aguero to trickle past him. The shot came right at his hands. He hit it, but his body was just not behind it, and it slipped through his hands, and he could only watch in absolute agony as the ball trickled into his net. First equalizer for Man City to make it 2-2. And, of course, making Falcao think even more about that missed penalty. But Monaco responded and made it 3-2. Radamel Falcao, he has the missed penalty, he has the goal, and he scored a ridiculous chip after an error in the Man City defense. Absolutely beautiful. This was my candidate for goal of the week. There was also an incredible goal in the Atletico Leverkusen game, which I'll get to later, but an absolutely unbelievable chip from Radamel Falcao made it 3-2 to Monaco. Willy Caballero was left helpless as he watched the ball sail over his head and into the back of the net. 3-2 Monaco. And what a game. Now the teams are just starting to sort of score at will. Sergio Aguero leveled the score and scored the second of what would be his hat trick to level the tie again at 3-3. And then John Stones came forward, poked home off a corner kick to make it 4-3. And then Leroy Sané scored the fifth. A magnificent five for City as they go past Monaco, but this tie is not over. Monaco is one of just two teams in Europe to have scored 100 goals already this season. Can you guess the other? If you guessed Barcelona, you were correct. But Monaco and Barcelona, in good company, the only two teams in Europe to have scored 100 goals. That was of Tuesday. The other game that was sort of overshadowed by this goal fest was another quasi goal fest of its own, as Atletico Madrid traveled to Bayer Leverkusen to face Chicharito. And this game got off to a slower start than the other one, that's for sure. But Saúl cut in on his left foot and fired a beautiful bending shot into the top corner to make it 1-0 Atletico. This was followed by a goal from star player Antoine Griezmann after another error in the back by Leverkusen center back, a mishit volley clearance that Gamero pounced on before easily setting it up for Griezmann to make it 2-0. Bellarabi restored hope for the hosts when he struck to make it 2-1, but that was canceled out by a Kevin Gamero strike 10 minutes later to make it 3-1. And this second half was amazing, as an own goal was scored on a comical error at the back from Atletico to make it 3-2. And again, the arena was lively. Bayer looked like they could be in it, only for Fernando Torres, the journeyman, to come off and score with a wonderful flicked header to make it 4-2. Atletico look safe and sound in this tie, as they'll take home 4 away goals, and with that resolute defense, you can't see Bayer Leverkusen scoring 3 unanswered goals. And of course, if Atletico was to score again, it would make it that much harder for their German counterparts. So, a goal fest on Tuesday. Those were the two games, 5-3 in the Manchester City-Monaco game and 4-2 in the Leverkusen versus Atletico game. Wednesday's fixtures were a little more low-key as Juventus traveled to Porto and Sevilla hosted fairy tale story Leicester City. And we'll start in Seville, as Sevilla really dominated their struggling English, the struggling English champions who are just 1 point above the relegation zone in their domestic league. And they absolutely dominated in the first half. And they were rewarded for their extra pressure when they took the lead very early in the game. They had another chance early to put this game way away from Leicester's ability with a penalty again in the first 20 minutes or so. This was saved by Schmeichel, though, who had an incredible game and really kept Leicester in it. And the man who missed the penalty, Correa, would actually score the second goal for Sevilla in the second half to make it 2-0. But Jamie Vardy poked in a goal for fairy tale story Leicester City to make it 2-1 and keep hope alive for the second leg back in England. There's going to be an insane crowd at the King Power Stadium, and you never know what can happen. We see in the FA Cup all the time these underdog stories. Can an incredible underdog story like that play out on soccer's biggest stage in the Champions League? We will see. But 2-1 after the first leg in Sevilla, and it really should have been more. Sevilla will be very disappointed with the result as they dominated play, but were unable to make it count as they could only put two past an inspired performance by Schmeichel and Vardy scoring a precious away goal. So a 1-0 win for Leicester in England could put them through to the next round and let their incredible first ever Champions League campaign continue. The other game, Juventus, another tournament favorite and European powerhouse, went to Portugal, the Estádio Dragão, to play Porto. And Porto had a very unfortunate game as they were given an absolute shock to the system when Alex Telles received his marching orders after two yellow cards in the span of about a minute. Unfortunate for the youngster, and Porto had to play the rest of the game with 10 men. Juventus saved it till late, though, as Porto put in an inspired effort on the defensive end, but it was not enough as Piaka scored in the 72nd minute, and then Dani Alves off the bench. Both Piaka and Alves actually came off the bench, so two super subs from Allegri, and Juventus take a comfortable 2-0 lead back home. And this tie looks pretty much over. So Porto would need to score three, beat the old lady 3-0 in Juventus to move on. And I do not see that happening. And little do other soccer experts, as Juventus is given a 99% chance to advance. So that is a roundup of what happened in this week's Champions League fixtures. An incredible Tuesday saw Manchester City beat Monaco 5-3 at home, and Atletico go to Germany and beat Bayer Leverkusen by a score of 4-2. Then Wednesday saw Juventus beat Porto after Alex Telles got a red card after two yellows separated by only about a minute, and Sevilla got a tight home win against Leicester. 2-1 was the final there. But a lot is still on the line in both the Man City-Monaco game and the Sevilla-Leicester game. Those are the games to watch next time the Champions League comes about, which I'm not sure when it will be, but it's certainly not next week. Anyway, those are the ties to look forward to because a lot is still on the line. Thank you for listening to this Champions League roundup. Let's move on to the National Basketball Association. And last Thursday was the league's trade deadline, and a lot went down. Headlined, of course, by the trade that brought Boogie Cousins, the Sacramento Kings star, to New Orleans. for a host of relative no-names. The details of the trade were Omar Caspi and DeMarcus Cousins to the Pelicans for the Pelicans' first and second round picks in the upcoming draft, and Langston Galloway, Tyreek Evans, and Buddy Hield, the number six pick in last year's draft. So pundits are calling this the great trade robbery because the Kings got little to nothing in return for one of the league's best players, and I have to agree with them. Sacramento cementing their status as one of the league's most troubled franchise, the Cleveland Browns of basketball, if you may, giving away their prized asset for really a bunch of no-names in Tyreek Evans and Langston Galloway. Buddy Hield has limited upside, especially surrounded by the players that he's going to have to play with in Sacramento. And the first and second round picks are nice, but you're probably not going to get another Boogie Cousins from where the Kings are going to end up getting their draft from the Pelicans, because the Pelicans are fighting for the 8th spot in the Western Conference. It's not like the Kings traded for like the number 3 overall pick. They're going to end up getting like a 15th, 16th overall pick in the draft. So really a bad trade from Sacramento's point of view, but who knows? Vlad Divac, the general manager for the Kings, might have some master plan. But pundits around the league are giving Sacramento an F for this trade. Meanwhile, the Pelicans, regarded as getting a steal, they now have two of the game's best bigs in Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins paired next to each other. Just a little side note, in the first game with these two playing next to each other, the Pelicans were blown out by 30 by the Rockets. So obviously this trade did not make the Pelicans a favorite or anything, even to get that last spot in the Western Conference. Their guard play is still horrific. They do not have great players around these two incredible big men. And today's NBA is really, it's based on performance out of your guards. Just look to the Warriors. They don't have any dominant big men, but they are able to win year after year from incredible guard play from Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. So two bigs, and the Pelicans now have the chance to trouble teams in the playoffs if they make it. But this does not make them by any means a heavyweight or a favorite, especially not to win the NBA title. That's insane. Anybody who thinks that this trade makes them favorites to win the NBA title should be driven out of whatever town they dwell in. In other action, the Dallas Mavericks acquired Nerlens Noel. The full trade goes Nerlens Noel to Dallas, and Dallas gives the Sixers Andrew Bogut, a first-round pick, and Justin Anderson. So a pretty good trade from both perspectives in this case, because in Dallas's point of view, Nerlens Noel is a very good young big man and someone they can pair with Dirk Nowitzki for potentially devastating results. The Mavs, let's remember, are a bad team, and giving up Bogut was probably a good thing to do because his contract was going to expire this summer anyway. So getting rid of Bogut, having to get rid of Justin Anderson was not that bad because he's been a bust so far, and they also receive a pick from the Sixers. And the Sixers are able to offload Noel, who was unhappy in Philadelphia, really. He liked the organization, but he was still behind Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. You've got Jahlil Okafor in there. The Sixers just had a glut of big men, and the decision to offload one of them, especially being a player as talented as Noel, works on both ends. The Sixers were able to get something in return for him, and now Noel has the chance to play every night and have not a starring role, but a much more significant role than he would have had playing behind Embiid, Simmons, Okafor, potentially other big men. I mean, his playing time was very limited, to say the least, in Philadelphia. Moving up north to the 6, Toronto, Drake and the Raptors acquire Serge Ibaka from the Magic. The full trade went something like this. Raptors acquire Serge Ibaka and give up bench player Terrence Ross and their first round selection in next year's draft. This was not a very good trade in the Magic's perspective, as Terrence Ross is really unproven. He's not very good. And this first round pick of the Raptors are a contending playoff team. This first round pick's going to be in between probably 20 and 30. So it's not a high pick by any means. And the Magic probably could have gotten more for Ibaka, who's proven to be a talented player. But Toronto now gets a defensive presence, a guy who can shoot the three ball, and a weapon. And of course, they didn't really have to pay much for him. So great trade from the Raptors' point of view, left a little to be desired if you're an Orlando Magic fan. But Magic fans haven't had much to cheer about this season anyway. Maybe this first-round pick is really what the Magic need. They just have to kind of abandon ship on their current roster. They also have Bismack Biyombo, and they also have their young center, Nikola Vucevic, who is really probably regarded as the big man of the future. So there was also a glut of big man in there, similar to the one in Philadelphia. Finally, the last big trade that I'm going to talk about was the one that shipped sixth man Lou Williams of the Lakers to the Houston Rockets. The trade went something like this: Lou Williams to the Rockets for journeyman Corey Brewer and a first-round pick. And similar to the Raptors situation, this is probably going to be a late first-round pick because the Rockets are one of the best teams in the NBA, so this is going to be 25 to 30 probably. A decent trade in the view of the Lakers. They aren't contending now, therefore Lou Williams was not a super valuable asset on their team. He could provide good minutes off the bench, and he can obviously score, but this was not the ideal situation for both Williams or the Lakers. They get a first-round pick for him and a veteran to add to the locker room. They could do worse. They probably could have done better, but with where they are in a rebuild, with new GM Magic Johnson, and all that he has to ponder, coaching staff, players, a first-round pick is always good to have in your back pocket. In terms of the Rockets, they get a proven scorer to put around James Harden and someone who can shoot the three ball. So in Mike D'Antoni's super run and gun and sling and mighty fine offense, he is going to be a nice shiny new addition, as James Harden can facilitate, kick it out to him, and he's just one more shooter off the Rockets. Not off his bench, off the bench. Of course, he might play off the bench, but he's just another shooter that the Rockets can play with, tinker with, make their offense even better than the prolific thing that it is now. So let's talk about for a second all the things that didn't happen. Critics are kind of getting on the Boston Celtics for not going out and acquiring a superstar, especially with how banged up and beatable the Cleveland Cavaliers look. Paul George was rumored to be someone that the Boston Celtics were looking at, but they did not pull the trigger. And I don't think this is the end of the world, but I do agree with the point that if the Celtics were really looking to contend, this was their year. I mean, the Cavaliers look mortal, and if they have a chance to go acquire a Paul George, this probably should have been the trade deadline to do that. Now, they might make a summer splash like they did last year, signing Al Horford. There are a lot of marquee free agents this year, but they're going to have to contend with all 31 other NBA teams, whereas in this trade deadline, a lot of the lower teams were looking to ship out players. Possibly the Indiana Pacers would have accepted a deal had it been good enough. And the Celtics do have the picks. They got that incredible deal for in the trade with the Nets that basically messed the Nets up for the past few years. They have a bunch of first round picks, a bunch of really top five, top 10 picks to play with, even though they're a good team. They could have maybe offloaded some of those to acquire Paul George, as Indiana knows that they're probably not going to win an NBA championship this year. So maybe a missed opportunity In my opinion, it was, because I'm really swayed by the argument that experts have made. But not the end of the world for the Celtics. They are still a prolific team. Isaiah Thomas will, of course, give them a good shot at beating the Cavs in the playoffs, but maybe they could have done more. So thank you. This has been the Woodruff Report. I am your host, David Woodruff. In this podcast, we talked about Champions League roundup from this week and NBA trade rumors and deals that did/did not happen. Thanks for tuning in. I've been your host, David Woodruff. I've had a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please join us next week when we talk about more exclusively amazing content on Woodruff Report. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, David Woodruff. See you next time.